This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. The three-pack is back. The three-pack is a great value, and the top three uses for the air purifier are to eliminate odors, allergens, and air pollutants. Get the three-pack today at EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word Howie3.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston. You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Grace Curley Show. Joe Biden is sending letters, because that's what you want from Joe. Is, you know, he's at home. He's probably on a typewriter, if I had to guess. And he's sending letters to the oil companies. He's very upset with the oil companies because they, you know, they actually took his warnings from the past where he said he was basically going to kill the oil industry, demonize them ad nauseum. And they said, okay, we believe you, and we're going to pull back on investing in these businesses. And now he's shocked that they're not producing more oil.
Dear oil companies, stop. I don't like you very much. Stop.
I mean it.
I'm not joking. Full stop.
No joke. We need you.
Listen, I'm being deadly earnest. I'm sure he's being deadly earnest. And by the way, I just want to read you one more quote here from the Wall Street Journal. It says, oil and gas producers are subject to many of the same supply chain roadblocks and price increases that hinder other industries. If they can't find willing long-term capital providers, it is difficult for them to ramp up production. And why would it be tricky for them to find willing long-term capital providers? Do you think it's because Joe has talked how he's going to transition us away from oil?
What's with the oil prices, man? Come on. I see this company, Canola, putting out stuff half the price you guys are doing. What's up with that?
You know who he needs to talk to? He needs to talk to Marianne in the sunroom, because she's got her eye on the prize when it comes to hamburger meat. So I'm sure she knows what's going on at the gas pumps.
Marianne doesn't use oil. She uses Crisco solid.
By the way, Fox Business reported that May retail sales unexpectedly declined as sizzling hot inflation weighs on spending. I expected this. Taylor, I'm sure you expected this.
How could you not expect it?
The listeners expected this, but the experts, they're constantly taken by surprise. And one last thing, just as far as breaking news go, the Fed raised its key short-term interest rates by 0.75 percentage point today, its largest hike since 1994, to a range of 1.5% to 1.75%. And by the way, Joe Biden kept saying yesterday, you know, we're fighting inflation. We're changing lives. We've changed lives. All their policies.
Certainly has.
Historic numbers, record-breaking numbers, and they are changing lives every single day. I can't argue with that.
Even historic averages.
Yes, I would agree. All right,
Joey,
now Taylor.
Baby!
I think everyone's wondering the same thing. Why are you here?
I wonder that myself many times. Just like Joe Biden.
Yes. Well,
Taylor
is here.
What are we doing?
Because we're going to do a little Masterpiece Theater. And usually you are, you do a great Trump impersonation. You do a great Biden impersonation. But now we're asking you to really flex your acting muscles here. And you're going to take on the role of Hunter Biden, which is new for you.
Yeah, I haven't given this any practice, so
I feel like this is inside the actor studio. How do you feel about this performance? Are you nervous?
I just have to imagine myself with fully capped teeth. And
oh God,
sniff a lot. You'll be fine.
Yeah, he's a method actor for sure.
Meth actor.
Now, I should give people a little bit of a background. These are text messages. I got this from the Washington Examiner, but a lot of different outlets have these, and they're in between Hallie Biden, who is Beau's widow,
mm-hmm,
and Hunter Biden, Beau's brother. And they became lovers, and there was an incident. There were actually, if you look at Hunter Biden, there were many incidents throughout the course of his life thus far. But there was an incident with a gun inside of Hunter's truck. And what happened was Hallie found the gun. She got nervous. I don't think, and I'm just assuming here, so I'm sorry if I overstep, but she doesn't sound like the brightest bulb because...
She burned the house down to kill the spider, is what she did.
Yes, she took the gun and in all of her nervousness decided to throw it in a trash can across the street from a high school. And I actually kind of side with Hunter on that, like, what are you doing?
Right.
But it's a messy situation. So we are going to read to you. I will be playing the role of Hallie. Taylor will be playing the role of Hunter. And these are the text messages between the lovebirds. They're like Strzok and Lisa Page, the lovebird text messages.
A little more angry than that.
Yes. They're having a lover's quarrel. All right, Jared, are you ready to go? Here we go. This is Masterpiece Theater.
I need you to... Oh, we're going to have an intro.
This is called the trash can gun. And take it away, Taylor.
I need you to stop doing everything you possibly can to make a life here an unbearable proposition. People make mistakes out of love. People have things in the immediate past of relationship that are inexplicable but harmless. Who do you know that has so many inexplicable acts that in their face are deceitful and hurtful? You have dozens and no attempt to even try to explain. And you have now, for the last time, begged me to come back only to humiliate me once again. The ducking FBI, Hallie. It's hard to believe anyone is that stupid. So what's my fault here, Hallie, that you speak of? Owning a gun that's in a locked car, hidden on another property? You say I invade your privacy. What more can I do than come back to you to try again? And you do this? Who in their right mind would trust you to help me get sober? Do you want me dead?
I'm sorry. I just want you safe. That was not safe. And it was open, unlocked, and windows down, and the kids searched your car.
You have now made me a target, Hallie. You have now confirmed what you have implied to everyone. How do I come home now?
And I'm scared you would use it. I'm scared you would use it, Hunt.
To do what, Hallie? They think you're scared I would shoot you, you ducking bleephole. You now have me as an abusive pedophile with homicidal tendencies, and that's now in the hands of the FBI. I hate what you've done to me. I won't ever recover from all of this. I'm too tired. This is the way you love me?
Yes, it is. I'm scared for your life, Hunt. I love you. I'm sorry.
Bo owned a handgun issued by the state, and I was in the front glove compartment of his car. So duck you.
I'm at the end of my sanity.
What right do you ducking have, Hallie? There are 5 guns in Dad's house. There are ducking more weapons in your son's room than in the armory. What's my duck up? Owning a gun? How, Hallie, is that wrong? It's only wrong if you make me out to be unstable. I'm proven unstable when you put a gun in the trash can at Jansen's out of fear.
I want a sober life with you without a gun in your car and me scared when you walk out the door.
Instead, you demand of me and belittle me and scoff at me and shame me and lick me out of your life. You publicly humiliate me. Where else would the ducking gun go? You promised me. You lied. You did the worst thing other than using it that you could have done. The police and FBI still want to talk about whether I'm threatening you, and you think I should stay insane.
End scene. Excellent job, Taylor.
Thank you. You as well.
Really, really excellent job. And I just want to say, and I'm not trying to toot my own horn because that would not be like me at the Grace Curley Show to give myself credit for anything. But we were trying to decide what we were going to do with all of the
F-bombs.
And I think ducking was the right way to go.
It's never a wrong way to go.
Because anyone who's had an iPhone knows when you want to write the F-bomb, it auto-corrects it to ducking, and it's very frustrating. Yeah,
but his phone had learned.
His phone, yeah.
His phone, he was used to it.
Yes. Taylor, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
This is just one chapter, though, of their love story, and I'm sure there's more to be seen from the laptop from hell. We keep getting more information about it. It's always very interesting. I think, Taylor, And this is just, you know, as someone who studied this work and now you've acted one of the best performances of your life, what do you take away from this? Because here are the two things I find the most interesting. Actually, three. One is that she says it was unlocked, windows were down, he was not being a responsible gun owner. Two, he says there were five guns in Dad's house.
Joe Biden's only claimed he has two, and they're shotguns. One might be a pistol. But
play 8 to 5. 2 to 3 out of 5.
And also, there are ducking...
Is the numbers problem hereditary in the Biden family?
There are ducking more weapons in your son's room than in an armory.
How old was her son then?
We're going to have to do some research. Yeah. I also should mention, and this is just me being nitpicky here, but he gets the then and then wrong.
Yeah, and he said I instead of it at one point.
But we're not trying to, you know, be overly
critical.
First of all,
go ahead, Jared.
They're talking about Robert Biden II, who was born in 2006. So he's currently 16 years old.
Oh, that's a whole nother issue.
Yeah, maybe he's talking about like samurai swords. I know kids are a little weird these days.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Weapon could be a lot of different things.
Yeah.
I don't know if a 16-year-old should have a samurai sword either, though.
Bo and Hallie's son.
My big takeaway is that he thought that this was going to be a normal relationship. And when it didn't turn out that way, he loses his mind. Did he act appropriately? That would have been my response, I think, if my wife threw my gun in a trash can behind a grocery store.
Yeah, and I'm gonna go on a limb here and say something else. I'm a big fan of once you have to use ducking, that's the code word we're using now, more than once or twice, pick up the phone, make the call. You know,
yeah,
it could
always,
be...
always make the call, especially when you're talking about illegal activity.
Yeah.
You make the call.
I know that people like it now to text, but I'm glad they texted.
At least maybe just do it in person.
From a purely selfish point of view, I'm very happy decided to transcribe this for all of us. Taylor Cormier, thank you again for a wonderful performance. All right, when we get back, we'll take more of your calls. We're going to talk a little bit about the May retail sales. Are you surprised that the consumer expectations are declining and that people are being a little bit more hesitant about their spending? I know from my own point of view, it's human nature. You know, you're not as excited to buy things. That's why they have sales, because when you see a sale, you go, ooh, getting a good deal. And when you go through the grocery store now, you go anywhere and you see the prices of things, you're less inclined to want to buy it, especially things that you don't need, especially like fun things. That's what people start putting that off right away. They go, I don't really need that. That's just some extra stuff. That's some extra clothes I don't really need, or that's some extra makeup I don't really need. So those are the industries that usually hurt the most at first. But yeah, and the experts are always, they're always taken by surprise constantly. I want to ask the experts, when they say, oh, it was unexpected, there was a decline in sales, it was unexpected, I want to say to them, what did you expect? Tell us that. Let's start with what you did expect, and then we'll work our way out of that. 844-500-4242. We'll be right back with more of your calls. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley is your perfect lunch date.
Bread, $2 extra.
$2, but everyone in front of me got free bread.
You want bread?
Yes, please.
$3!
What?
No soup for you!
This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Department of Homeland Security is going to discipline the Border Patrol horseback agents who were falsely accused of whipping Haitian migrants. Even though we found out that was totally bogus.
Cool whip.
They are still going to discipline them. So I'm sure that we'll find out more about this when it won't jeopardize sources and methods and all that good stuff. 844-500-4242. We were just going over Hunter Biden's text to Hallie. And it is ironic that this guy's father, dad, as he always calls him. He'll call Joe dad to everyone. Even if Joe's not their dad, he still calls him dad. The big guy, he is now telling us about responsible gun ownership and you know, what kind of guns you need and what kind of guns he doesn't think you need unless you're a hunter and the deer aren't wearing Kevlar vests and all that stuff. And meanwhile, and I know everyone knows this, but it's worth repeating. His son's got a gun loose in his truck, and his son's sister-in-law, who's also his lover, is tossing that gun in a trash can outside of a supermarket across the street from a high school. But please, Joe, tell us more about all the things you know about gun control. We're all ears. Who better to lecture us about this than you?
Let's talk about those red flag laws, sir.
Yeah, let's talk about lying on a form to get a gun. Is that illegal or no?
I'd like to refer someone.
Adam, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Adam.
Thanks, Grace. I just watched the movie on Netflix, No Time to Die, the latest Bond movie.
Yeah, I saw that in theaters.
It was the crappiest Bond movie I've ever seen in my life, and for a lot of reasons. But one of the reasons that really struck me and hit home is the use of firearms. I mean, it was like unbelievable. I've never seen it in any other Bond movie when you're going in with a machine gun and you just keep shooting people. And Daniel Craig is supposed to be, quote unquote, the good guy, and he's killing all these other people. And I'm saying to myself, this is not right. We used to have censorship in movies. Maybe we still do. I think it's the Hayes Act or whatever it was. But why don't they just raise the age of people watching movies like this? Because obviously Hollywood and the White House or the Democrats are tight. They're not going to change any laws about censoring movies. But it's unbelievable. Grace, how did you like the movie, by the way?
All right, so Adam, let me be very honest. I'm attracted to Daniel Craig. So that should, right away, you know you're getting a biased point of view. I enjoyed the movie. It was the first movie I'd seen in theaters in so long, and I love Bond movies. Casino Royale is my favorite as far as the Daniel Craig ones go. I don't think anything beats it. I love all the scenery in that, and I really like the opening scene of No Time to Die. I thought the ending was kind of meh. But I'm really glad Adam brought this up. And I didn't plan on talking about this today, but in the beginning of the show, I had mentioned open letters and how sick I am of open letters. And when I was Googling it to try to figure out which open letter I was thinking of, it came up that celebrities are joining an open letter pressing Hollywood to model gun safety in TV and movies. And it's funny that Adam brings up No Time to Die, because when I went to go see that movie, right afterwards, we grabbed a bite to eat outside the theater, and I was talking to my husband, and he's a gun owner. He's a nerd about guns, like the guys Toby always talks about, who are incredibly into gun safety, all the gadgets, you know, the correct way to store it. He wouldn't be Hunter Biden style, in other words. And I had actually brought that up to him about that movie. I said, it's crazy, like how much they glorify these weapons that they also claim to hate so much when they're not in the movies. And what Will said to me, Adam, is he said, you wouldn't mind, but he wasn't even using it in the proper way. Like all the things they teach you about, you know, finger not on the trigger. You know, I don't know all the technical terms, but all the things they teach you in the first or second day of going to these classes at Cape Gunworks, they're not even implementing in these movies. So beyond the fact that they're kind of hero worshiping the weapons that they claim to hate so much, they're also not even putting out the correct information as far as how to use these guns. And whether or not you think they should be banning them from movies or whatever, that's a different debate, and I'm happy to have it on the air, because I haven't really figured out where I fall on that. I think the cat's kind of out of the bag. But it is worth it, it's very, very hypocritical that the same people who push gun control are obsessed with these weapons when it comes to making money at the box office. 844-500-4242. Glad we got to get to that, because I didn't think we'd have time today. When we come back, we got more sound. We'll take your calls.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Gun violence is not anywhere close. Abortion's not anywhere close. Immigration, which Republicans were going to want to run on, not anywhere close. And here is, I think, the big takeaway. When you look at your generic congressional ballot, so put it all together, right? We're going to make this giant stew for you. What do voters feel right now? Look at this. On the generic congressional ballot, we're just looking at the best Republican positions dating all the way back since 1938. This is the best. I repeat, the best Republican position on the generic congressional ballot, basically of all time.
That was Harry Enten. He's the CNN senior data reporter, and he was talking about basically how bad things look for Joe Biden and Democrats and how there's a lot of potential for a red wave. I agree with Ari Hoffman, who we had on the show earlier. If you missed the interview, go check it out at gracecurlyshow.com. We'll have that posted within the hour. It's a really good interview. He hits a lot of different things. Very, very intelligent, talented writer. And it's a great look for, it's looking great for Republicans in 2022. It's looking like there could be a red wave. But like Ari said, do not rely on that. Do not get too comfortable. We've got to win big. We've got to win so big that it's not even close, that there's none of this, ooh, recount. You know, we need a couple days to count the ballots and all this nonsense. And so as we talk about this, it's an interesting thing because then you start talking about 2022 and then naturally people start talking about 2024. So Elon Musk was tweeting about Myra, I'm not exactly sure, Flores, and how historic this was. I mean, she flipped a seat that had been under Democratic control for four decades. So this was, I don't know if it was a bellwether, but it's a big deal. It's a big deal no matter which way you slice it. And then he started talking about 2024. And Ron DeSantis and how he thinks Ron DeSantis has the best shot at winning the presidential election in 2024. And this whole conversation is happening a lot now for a few reasons. One is because everyone is interested on what Trump's going to do. That's just natural. I mean, the guy is constantly making headlines and he's always teasing it. Sometimes he slips up and he makes it seem like he's definitely going to run, but no one is sure. Now, the other question mark is Joe Biden. And as I have pointed out, the left is going to at some point decide that they can move on from Joe and that the Trojan horse has done his job and now they can wheel him out of the gate and they can just let him, you know, fall into a ditch eating his ice cream and be left alone there. And he doesn't need to be in charge anymore. And they'll bring,
oh boy,
maybe they'll have the Easter Bunny lure him out of the White House and back to Delaware. And as I have pointed out, I do not think until we get those words, cognitive decline, and I stand by that, out of the mouths of these Democrats, of these keyboard warriors at Axios and Politico, until we get a piece that talks about the fear of Joe Biden's cognitive decline, they're still backing Joe. And so I'm not saying that that has happened, but the dam is breaking. We have not gotten that yet, but we got pretty damn close last night. This is Van Jones on CNN. And keep in mind, when Van Jones makes comments like these, he doesn't always toe the party line. He has said things before. He worked with Trump on prison reform. He's ticked off the liberals before, the CNN viewers, the Trump deranged viewers. This is definitely going to tick them off. This is Cut 7.
As David Axelrod says, and he's come out and put his name on it, he said, look, this is a person who, if they win, will be closer to 90 at the end of their second term than 80. And therefore, these are very fair questions. Joe Biden said these were fair questions the last time when he was running. So do you have these questions?
Well, I think everybody is looking very closely now. When Biden does well, he does really well. That gun speech he gave, he was perfect. It was powerful. When he does badly, when he stumbles, you get nervous and you wonder, is it just a stutter? Is he tired or something else there? And so I think that people are just looking. I mean, honestly, I think a lot of Democrats are like, if this guy's ready to go, we're behind him. But if he's not ready to go, he should let us know. I think that's what's going on.
Is something else there? He said it really quick under his breath, but we all know what that something else is. Is something else there?
Biden's losing it.
Is he mentally not all there? And Tucker Carlson had an interesting take on this, and I like it. You know, Tucker's saying, listen, you guys have been selling us on how wonderful all of these people in Biden's administration are. You know, he brought in the best and the brightest. Yamiche Alcindor compared them to the Avengers. We were told by Chris Cillizza that the adults were back in charge. And Tucker, for one, is going to believe all of those claims. And he's saying, I was told over and over again that these people are the creme de la creme. They are the best in the biz, baby. And I'm not going to give up on them. And specifically, he's throwing his weight. He's throwing all of his support behind the woman who broke the glass ceiling. The woman who... you might best know her as the woman who is amazed at the craters on the moon and is also amazed at the wonder of the internet. The laugher-in-chief, the cackler-in-chief, Kamala Harris. Let's take a listen to Tucker. This is Cut 8.
Mediocrity is no excuse for firing someone. A low IQ, a terrible personality, a total inability to do the prescribed job, those are not reasons to deny someone a job. The Biden administration has told us that repeatedly. And by the way, democracy plays a role in this too. You just saw the woman who Liz Cheney tells us a lot got 81 million votes in the last election. Now, that's the most votes of any vice president in history. That's more votes than Liz Cheney's dad got. So denying Kamala Harris the Democratic nomination in 2024 is nothing less than a form of insurrection. It's an attack on democracy and on our sacred norms. It's disinformation, probably Russian in origin. Whatever it is, we cannot allow it. And as long as this show is on the air, we won't. Tonight, we are endorsing Kamala D. Harris for the 2024 Democratic primaries. She deserves it. And so do Democrats. They created her. They should be forced to live with her. And anyone who disagrees with that is, by definition, a racist.
Yeah, it is her time. There is no doubt about it. If she is not given the opportunity to showcase her many talents,
freedom,
then I will write a very, very damning think piece and submit it to the Washington Post.
We'll join together on an open letter.
Yeah, we are going to write an open letter from the Howie Carr Radio Network, and we are going to get the head honchos to sign on to this, demanding that Kamala Harris be the nominee in 2024. And of course, the reason they don't want her to be the nominee is because she did terrible in the 2020 elections. I don't think she could even poll like 3%. And also, her polling right now as vice president makes Joe Biden's polling look pretty good. So she's a terrible choice if you want to win. But that is not what we're concerned about. We're concerned about what's right. We're concerned about what's fair. And I think Tucker's onto something here. I think we need to, it almost, you know what this is giving me the vibe of? It's giving me the vibe of DeSantis with Disney. Like, you talk a really big game, and now you have the chance to prove just how committed you are to your own values. You purport all of these wonderful, virtuous values, and we're going to give you an opportunity to prove to everyone how much you believe the things you say, how much you believe in these crazy, unhinged claims that Kamala Harris is a brilliant person. Well, guess what? This is your chance. We are going to afford you the opportunity to prove to the United States of America that you have complete confidence in the ability of Kamala Harris. Congrats. You've won. You can now show the world how wonderful she is. And let's play a little bit more, because I think he's onto something here. Let's play Cut 9.
These people are cynical. They're ruthless. They're morally disfigured. And if you need more proof of that, consider how they're treating poor Kamala Harris. They've abandoned Kamala Harris completely. It's shocking, really, given that just 18 months ago, these very same people were yelling at you about how lucky you were to have this historically Indian black female vice president, the very first in history. It was thrilling. I got emotional just thinking about it. Kamala Harris was that wonderful.
We mark the swearing in of the first woman in American history elected to national office, Vice President Kamala Harris. Don't tell me things can't change.
Don't tell me things can't change. Oh, they can change, and they have. That was just the other day. We were getting goosebumps listening to it. But now they're ghosting Kamala Harris like a bad Tinder date.
Yeah, and they're not only ghosting her, they're suggesting other people like Pete Buttigieg to replace her. And to me, that reeks of not just misogyny, but also of racism. Can I have Cut 10, please?
They're pretending she doesn't exist. In effect, in doing that, the Democratic Party is embracing white supremacy. How? Well, Democratic Party leaders plan to deny Harris a job that she has earned as Democratic nominee and replace her in the next cycle with yet another, wait for it now, white man. Let's try Beto. How about Mayor Pete? Notice a theme here? Pale and male, as they're forever telling us. Because it turns out, diversity isn't actually our strength.
Oh, no. I don't like this one bit. You know, I think what it comes down to is the left wants us to forget how wonderful Kamala Harris is. She She's drenched in wonderfulness. You can tell by her polls. Her wonderfulness is contagious. Everyone can feel it. You know, you can see it. Things are changing. This is how great Kamala Harris is. And they want us to forget that? They want us to forget how wonderful she is and move on to some other person?
I can taste it.
I don't think so. It is our job to remind everyone just what a bang-up job Kamala Harris is doing. Thank you, Tucker Carlson, for that. That's a new idea on me, and I really like it. I think that's a really good idea, and I'm going to keep promoting Kamala until 2024. I think she is the best choice. I think she is the best candidate for the job. By the way, we still have to do the poll question here. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. The three-pack is back and has great value. The uses for the air purifier eliminate odor, allergens, and air pollutants. So you should get the three-pack today at EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word GRACE3. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Will Saudi Arabia or Big Oil help Joe alleviate gas prices?
I'm going to say no. He hasn't treated either very well. And, you know, there's an old expression, you get more bees with honey. And he hasn't been giving out honey. He's been giving out some, I don't know, some vinegar. Sour, some vinegar. Yeah.
94% believe no.
All righty. And by the way, speaking of gas, it's time to announce our $50 gas money winner. And if you want to win, just go to gracecurlyshow.com. That's also where you can go to the store and buy some great stuff, and you can check out our podcast. But all you have to do is enter your email, and you'll be entered to win twice a day. You can win $50 worth of gas money on my show or Howie's show. It's totally free to enter, and once you enter once, you're entered in for every single day. So now it's time to announce the winner, and it is Bert from Springfield, from West Springfield,
Mass. You won! You did it!
Congratulations, Bert. Spend that gas money wisely. All right, we'll be right back with Howard Lawrence Carr. But before we go, I've got to let you guys know that we have a few more days on this excellent deal. I was just talking to Howie about this, and I said, have you seen the deal from Omaha Steaks? And I read the list to him, and he said, Grace, you don't have to read me the list. I already ordered mine. I ordered it because you can't beat this. Father's Day is on Sunday, and there isn't a better gift than Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com, type in Grace in the search bar, and you'll instantly understand what I mean, because you're going to save over 50% when you order the Dad's Want Steaks package. Now, just for $99, Jared, that number, if you've gone to the grocery store lately and you've checked out what you can get for $99 worth of meat, it's not a lot.
No, you can maybe get one item that you would get from Omaha Steaks for that price.
And you're getting 16 mouth-watering. 16, yes.
Wow.
Mouth-watering entrees, including tender bacon-wrapped filet mignons, gourmet jumbo franks, their air-chilled boneless chicken breasts, and for a sweet finish, delicious caramel apple tartlets. These are my favorite. Everyone knows I have a sweet tooth. But I get this, and what's great is my husband loves to grill. He cooks up the steak. I just pop in the dessert, and it's a full meal, and you get so many of them. So if you get this for your dad, he'll be able to grill this up on Father's Day, share it with the whole family, and he'll have tons left over for the rest of the month because you're getting so many products. It's a special gift for my listeners. When you type Grace in the search bar and order the Dad's Want Steak package, you're also going to get 8 free Omaha Steak burgers. You seriously cannot beat the value of this package. It's never too late to send Dad Omaha Steaks. Grilling season is here. It's time to order. So go to omahasteaks.com, type Grace into the search bar. You're saving over 50% when you order the Dad's Want Steak package for just $99. You'll get 16 entrees, 4 desserts, plus 8 free Omaha Steak burgers. And I just want to tell people, if you go to omahasteaks.com, type in the keyword Grace, you don't have to take our advice for this. You can just look at the list of what they're giving you, and then you're going to make the purchase. It's omahasteaks.com, keyword Grace. We'll be right back with Howie Carr. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Hi, it's Toby from Cape Gunworks. I'm taking all your firearm and self-defense questions every Tuesday. Join Grace and me for 2A Tuesday, Tuesdays at 2 p.m.
Because I wear
wearing a tiara when I came in here? Because if you happen upon it, will you have Lady Pennyface retrieve it and send it post-hence?
She's the epitome of class, style, and sophistication. She's Grace Curley.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. Today's car crossover is brought to you by Fairway Financial. Preparation and planning is the key to your retirement future. Visit fairwayfinancial.net. So first, we told you about the baby formula shortage. And Joe Biden came along and said, I've got 3.7 bottles on the way. And we said, we're going to be okay. Then we told you about the sriracha shortage. And maybe you said, I'm not really into sriracha. I'll be okay. And then I come in today, and Howie's got an article for me from the New York Times about the tampon shortage. And that's when I said, things are getting out of hand, Howie. I don't really like this anymore.
Yeah, you know, the NPR, National Panhandler Radio, kind of teased it the other day with their story. Menstruating people. Isn't that what it says? Menstruating people have a problem?
People who menstruate,
okay,
sir.
People who menstruate. Fortunately, I'm one of that 49% or so of the population that has never had this problem, but I commiserate with the majority. And, you know, this is really great. This is a return to normalcy. You know, the consumer mags are running how-to guides to make your own baby formula. Now they're saying, what are the... You can go back to sanitary napkin days, and there's these new clothes where you don't even have to wear a tampon, apparently.
I
learned this from the New York Times today.
Just so everyone knows.
And they're all in on this. They're all in it because they support Brandon 1,000%.
I just want everyone to know right now that if you had told me a year ago when I started this show that I'd be sitting here talking about this with Howie Carr, I would have told you were out of your mind. I don't want to be here doing this. This is the product of the Brandon administration.
Right.
And this is just the beginning.
It is. I mean, God only knows what they're going to... Again, we live in a state where illegal aliens are going to be able to get driver's licenses, but it's going to be against the law. It is against the law to buy menthol cigarettes.
And Howie, can we talk about another aspect of this, which is obviously something Howie talks about every day, starts a show with it, is gas prices. But Jennifer Granholm, who's the energy secretary, she actually said on CNN, well, if you go to Brazil, the prices are high. If you go to XYZ, the prices are high. And I said to Howie, would this ever work under Trump? Like when COVID happened, could he just say, well, we're not really doing anything about it because yeah, it's happening everywhere. So whatever. Well, fly?
They used to say this like, 30 years ago. They'd say, well, Americans should get used to paying $8 like they do in France. And everybody would say, this is what happens when you spend too much time at Harvard Square.
Yeah.
If you went down to Lechmere, you would have bricks thrown at you for saying something like that. Now it's the official policy of the administration. This is a good thing.
Yeah.
Basically.
When John Berman is telling you, well, listen, we're talking about the United States, that's when you know you're really losing people. And I think the biggest frustration for people, Howie, and I had pointed this out earlier, I was talking to you about it, with the comparisons to Jimmy Carter, is at least with Jimmy Carter, you knew he was trying to bring people in who could maybe help the situation. With these people, whether it be Pete Buttigieg or Jennifer Granholm, I don't get that sense.
Tom Cotton had the great line. He said, comparisons to Jimmy Carter are unfair. To Jimmy Carter.
Yes, they are. All right, Howie Carr is coming up next. He's got a great show plan. You don't want to miss it. I have a feeling he's got some more grim milestones to start the day off with. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back tomorrow. It's Grace Curley Show.